Thank you to Pulse Media Group. When being in a moment is priceless, let's give them a call. Maybe I should have called them for this broadcast. They can do everything you see here on kevinstew.com and more. You have a wedding, a seminar, a party, a graduation. An event you want to stream live on a secure platform, whether yours or theirs, just like I'm doing on kevinstew.com right here. Let's give them a call. Talk to them. Let's see how they can hook you up. 754-999-1140. That's 754-999-1140. I want to say thank you to Althea and her healing heavenly hands. Althea issues a licensed massage therapist operating out of Broad County, North Miami-Dade and South Palm Beach counties. She comes to you bringing her table, her oils, and of course, her healing heavenly hands with over 20 years massage therapy experience. There she is. Go ahead and give Althea a call. Schedule your appointment today. 954-655-9000. Or email her at thealater@att.net. That's thealater at att.net. Bring your waist up. She only has one request outside of paying her, that you get off her table and go sleep somewhere else when she's done. It's called the Kevin Stew Clause. I'm always falling asleep on her massage table. Always. I want to say thank you to Reggae Global Entertainment. Reggae Global act as your booking agents, handle your tour management, your business registration, legal service referrals, music production, marketing and promotion, and so much more. Go ahead and give them a call. Check them out online at reggaeglobal.com. Phone number 954-804-8199. That's 954-804-8199. Thank you to McNeil Trucking. McNeil Trucking are licensed and insured movers in the state of Florida. With McNeil Trucking, your goods are in good hands. Give them a call. You want to move things into storage? You want to move from point A to point B? Don't have the manpower? Don't have the transportation? At this point, you don't have any worries. You have a phone number, 954-406-9740. Tell them Kevin Stew sent you. Okay, so we finally worked out the kinks, got the gremlins out to turn on the lights, so scared the gremlins away. What went on, I don't know. He moving the old crowd. And she is here with me. Ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, I get to present to you the person of the moment. I'm gonna have her sit there for a moment. She is such a patient woman, let me tell you. We met initially about a year ago and we didn't really get to talk. But then we met again officially recently at an event, and we get to talk about it when I bring her on. The sound of Shelly Sweet Shells, a South Florida native, greeting, keeping us entertained with the track My Neighbor. Thank you, Shelly. And right about now, officially, I get to present to you the woman of the moment until we get done, whenever we get done, if we ever get done. Ladies and gentlemen, you ready, Michelle?
Whenever you are, I am ready, and I'm here with a special guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle J. Gomez. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Forgive me if you hear any panting. It actually is not me. one of my fur babies with some thunder and lightning going on.
Yes.
Very scared. So panda's in my lap.
What's his name? His or her name?
His full name is Pandemonium. But his nickname is Panda.
Panda.
Hello, you want to look over there?
Hi. Hey, Panda. Okay, so Michelle, welcome to the night shift to DJ Kevin Stew. Welcome to the family. You're now a family member.
Excellent, thank you.
You're live with us tonight on a few platforms across the globe, out of UK, New Jersey, New York. Here in South Florida, we rebroadcast on three platforms in Texas, you know, so you're going out to a few people. And funny enough, it is not in an official capacity that you're joining us. For those who don't know, I'm going to have to fix that shot. Let me put you up full screen until I fix that shot. Michelle is the mayor of Tamarack. And when I say she's not on an official capacity, she's not really here representing Tamarack, although she's always representing. But tonight, we get to chit-chat with Michelle. We get to know who Michelle is. You know, you want to get to know Mayor Michelle Gomez? Well, You can Google her. You can look her up on social media or something. Tonight you get to know the person herself. You know, you get to meet a side of her that you probably won't normally see. You know, things like that. And I hope she's ready, because when I'm done setting up this other shot, the rest of the broadcast is really hers. I'm just facilitating it. So, of all the things that I told her, I didn't tell her that part. So, okay, cool. I think I got it. There we go. That's a much better shot. All right, so tell us about Michelle J. Gomez. You know, South Florida native, are you? A South Florida native? You're a South Florida resident, but not a native.
No.
Where are you from originally? Where are you from originally?
I'm a New Yorker.
Oh,
I'm from Queens, New York. I'm in Rego Park, Forest Hills, New York.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Let the fun begin.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't know if you caught the news today. I don't know if you caught the news today. There was this accident, crazy accident, in Manhattan. A taxi driver ended up on the sidewalk. He hit a cyclist, ended up on the sidewalk. A few people got injured. Two ladies got pinned between the vehicle and the wall. And people just came out of nowhere and pretty much lifted the car off of them.
I hadn't seen it, but... not all New Yorkers are mean.
Yeah.
They come out to help.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm. The person was all right.
Yeah.
The cyclist is all right.
There were six people were injured. There were three that were serious. Mm-hmm. Like real serious, critical kind of serious. So we met officially. We got to chit-chat a little bit recently at a NAMI event. And I thought, you know, it would be really cool to have you on this broadcast, because a lot of people would meet city, state, local government officials in whatever capacity, and they only see them one way. You know, they don't get to meet the person. And I thought it would be really cool to introduce the person to the people. I got a phone call from one of my group administrators saying, "Hey, listen, Kevin, I can't approve this post in our group because, you know, it's political." And I'm like, you know, it is not. Not because she's a government official, does it mean that I'm doing a political broadcast. I'm not into politics. I'm not into the politics thing. I'm into the people thing. And so she's here in that capacity. And I told her where we met. And she's like, "Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. we going with this." But so that takes care of my side of things. Now we get to go back to your side of things. So people get an overview of how we ended up connecting and why you're on here. So as they see, you're at home. You let your hair down. Well, your hair is pretty much always down. All the pictures I see of you, your hair is down.
Well, I'm glad to have hair. I think I shared with you. I was sporting your do for a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And funny enough, the one of the groups that I shared tonight's broadcast is a group called The Doctor In You. So they would love to hear some of that story, because you being here right now, you've been through a number of things, and you're sporting my hairdo is one of them. So, but let's go back to New York. What was Michelle like as a little girl growing up?
Well, I'm not that much different than I am now, but I have the ability to drive my own car and have my own capital. I was always into everything. Not mm-hmm. much different. I played all kinds of sports, volleyball, basketball, softball, bowled. I think my parents just wanted me out of the house, which was good. It's all good. No complaints.
Right.
I was always involved and I never realized it, but I was always involved in school politics. I hate politics. So this will be a really quick blip on it. And then nobody has to worry about it. I hate politics like you do. I hate politics, but I like being involved.
Yes.
I have a good mouth and I like to be able to use it to be able to help advocate and speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I went towards law and mediation and my first job down here in a fundraising capacity for other organizations that help children with medical, emotional, financial, and physical needs. So basically a kid with a big mouth. Just in a it came out like a baby and then went straight to 5'6" and then went to 5'9" and that's just about it. So.
Siblings. Do you have siblings?
Technically. Yeah. My biological brother, unfortunately passed away when I was little. Cancer. He was diagnosed at 11 of liver cancer and it spread into his lungs. They gave him 6 months and he made it, though, thankfully, to 13. I have a blended family, so to speak. So my dad was no longer in the picture shortly after my brother died. Yes. And so I call him my biological, and he was a good man because he gave me up, so to speak. So my dad Gomez could adopt me.
Got you.
So it's my understanding that my biological, Jimmy, nice man. I know he had a son and then I believe that there's a daughter and a son as well in between. So I think I'm his oldest.
Okay.
Then there was a son and a daughter with a different wife, and then another son with another wife.
Okay, got you.
So, and then on my dad's side, who I call him, he's my dad, he was my father. Unfortunately, he passed away
Condolences.
Therapeutic complication due to surgery. He had a esophageal hernia.
Yes.
His stomach had dislodged, it went around his esophagus. And when they tied up his diaphragm, they used a proline stitch, was basically like fishing wire. They didn't cauterize it right. And unfortunately, they make you move right after surgery, and it dislodged, and it wound up stabbing him in his heart about 5 weeks later. And so actually July 18th will be the anniversary of his passing, but he's always with me.
Yes.
And so Father's Day was a little rough. Yesterday was a little rough, but he had two daughters and a son.
Mm.
They were older than me.
Yes.
Not 100% acceptance there. So technically, I guess I'm the only child. A long way to say, technically, I'm an only child.
Okay. So. We have a little bit of similarities there. My father has also transitioned. Well, both my parents have. But I do have other siblings other than... I have one sibling with both parents and other siblings by my father. And yesterday, I had one of those rare moments where my two younger brothers that I know, I went to visit one of them as I was on the road for Father's Day, and that was the younger of the two, and the one before him was at the house. I didn't know he was there. So we have this rare moment where the three of us were in a picture holding the ashes of my father.
You have a copy of it you want to share?
Sorry.
It's too personal, I apologize.
No. I haven't shared it on social media yet. I'll send it to you. Or anything like that. But I'll toss it in here somewhere and add it before the night is out.
So it was a nice time with them?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was only passing by and I ended up there for like 3-4 hours. Something that's crazy. I had other things to do. Everything else got pushed to the side. You know, when you get those moments, you don't plan them. They just happen. You can't just ignore them. You may as well just go ahead with them. Run with it.
You have to. It comes up for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And you got to make your life with the memories you can.
Yes.
And not let it pass you by. Because for what? Is it something that you can pass, right? It's something you can let go. You got other things you might need to do, but you can let them go to have that special memory now.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's one priceless memory right there. So, here you grew up in New York and blended family. As you said, your biological gave you up, which was... Some people look at that and think, boy... So you should be bitter. Why aren't you bitter? You know, you call him a nice guy, you know, but he gave you up. Why would you help us understand what it was that would lead you to think the way you do, to recognize him the way you do, and not be on the wagon, the bashing wagon?
Excuse me 1 second. I got the dog. He wants to jump down. Okay.
No problem.
That would be Roscoe and Chaos joining the club for Candace. Anyway, welcome to my house. Why? Well, because he gave my understanding, because I was young. I mean, I was around 4 or 5 when this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother, my Jimmy's my biological.
Yeah.
His mom, my grandmother Teresa, she basically told my father that this was the right thing to do, to give me an opportunity to be with my mom and Gomez, Richard, my dad.
Yeah.
And he just, as hard as I guess it was for him,
mm-hmm,
agreed. Mm-hmm. I never actually spoke with him about it. We never really had much contact. I ran into him a few times over the years. One of the times when I guess I had a meal with him, I wasn't in a capacity old enough to understand really what was going on, to be able to ask him, how did he feel? What did it mean to him? And for me, I learned the understanding of it. And I wasn't bitter because I had my daddy. Right. And I was definitely Richard Gomez's little girl. I mean, my father was strict. Both my parents were very strict, but they were very supportive. And it just never came across my mind to be bitter. I don't know. There are certain things, I guess, I just didn't ask questions. It was just the way it was.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, that's pretty cool. You know, and I asked that because, again, as someone in the public sphere, people might think, well, you know, you have your cushy job in some government office. You don't know what we're going through. Well, take a moment. Get to know me before you pass judgment. That kind of
thing. I do get that a lot. I mean, it was my mom and I against the world for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When my brother passed away, she packed us up and she tells a story of driving down to Miami in the little green bug with the dog, my German Shepherd named Duchess, and trying to get away from everything that was up north and the pain that was up here, to then drive us right back up to New York, and then within time establish a different lifestyle. But, I do get that. I get it often that I don't understand what it's like to have, see what it's like to make ends meet.
Yeah.
See what it's like to not have a full family. My parents were very hardworking people. My mom taught in New York City Public High School.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a young mom. And then went back to school. And actually, she went back to get her master's when I was in high school. So when you're dealing with a teenage girl at home, very involved with everything I was already doing. But she showed me strength to go back and do what she needed to do to further her career, and didn't have to give up her career and her choices because of her family life. And very much appreciate my mom's strength. And then, so when I was little, it was, I always knew I would take care of me and any kid in the world. I never focused on, I had to have a man.
Mm.
And, it wasn't that I was against relationships and having, you know, being with somebody, but it was not what my focus was. I was going to get an education.
Yeah.
That was what my mother put through to my head. And then my father, then when he came in the picture, it was the same way. And then my father was an electrician and worked unbelievable hours. He was 50, just got his 50th recognition of his 50th year in as an electrician, and literally the day before the surgery that he went in for that killed him. But anyhow, but he too showed me strength and commitment and work ethic, and I'm appreciative of that.
Oh, that's awesome. Believe me, that's awesome. I remember you sharing with me a little bit about your mom, and we had a good chuckle about that because you said she was like yay high. She was like 5 feet or something.
My mom's, well, if she should ever watch this, she'll be upset. But she was about 5 1/4 and 3/4, but she's kind of like maybe 5 foot. I'll give her 5 foot. We all know that she's not. And she's 90 pounds soaking wet, and she's actually lost some more weight. She's like this big. And so she's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But she stops eating because she's full. I'm full. She's cold. I put on a sweater. She's tired. I got to go to bed. And yes, I'm old enough to have my jobs, my position, but I will always be. Sometimes she gives me 4. Maybe I get to 12, sometimes 16. But always in my mother's eyes, I'm her little girl, and I'm supposed to deal with it. That's what she tells me. And so, yes, this big girl that I am,
right,
and I deal with it. And actually, I love her to death, and she'll be here tomorrow. She'll be back in town to visit me tomorrow.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about your mom being a New York City high school teacher.
She taught high school, and then she became an assistant principal. So after, when she went back to school when I was in high school, she mm-hmm. got her master's, so she was then qualified to be an assistant principal or go the principal path. And she became an assistant principal at Aviation High School in New York. And mm-hmm. she still taught social studies, government, economics. And she taught 36 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, she's a strong lady.
Yeah, she put in some work.
She did.
Again, more things that people would look on and say, you wouldn't understand, but you lived it. And here we are, hearing you tell the story about it. Which...
But I told my mom I wanted to be a teacher. She said she'd break my fingers. I told my dad I wanted to be an electrician. He told me to break my legs.
Wow.
So, they wanted me to do... Because they knew I liked the law.
Yes.
And they thought I'd be good at it. So they didn't want me to follow them. They wanted me to follow what my passion was.
Okay. Okay. So you got your first taste of getting into law when, you know, because you said you kind of liked it. Was it because of what you saw on TV? You know, what about law was it that intrigued you, and where did you first see it to be interested?
Good question. I think my first actual understanding of it may not have been a full understanding of it, but it was when my dad adopted me.
Mm.
So I had to go to the judge's chambers, and my father always loved telling the story of when the judge says to me, do I want this man to be my father? And I basically, my father said the look on my face was priceless. It was more or less, I looked at the judge like, what are you kidding me? He already is my dad. And I more or less said that because this is my father. What are you talking about? And so be careful what you ask a 9-year-old. Or maybe I was 12, but and it all blends, right? I just yes. know that I went to school, he was there, and it was legal. And I remember actually it was in 12th grade when it was finalized that my official record was changed for him to be my dad. So I had the experience before the court then. And I did, I mean, I like Law and Order. But my mom also brought some students home. She did mock trial with her kids.
Yes.
And she'd bring students to the apartment. And so I got to watch her training the students on how to appreciate the law. So originally mm-hmm. I was going corporate law. And then because I love sports, I was going sports law. Mm. And then I was going to represent athletes. Yeah. That's where my head was going. In college, I'm a bit older than you, so... I felt that the path to law school was not there. I took my LSATs, but it wasn't right. The timing wasn't right. The number one Georgetown law student couldn't find a job in the law field. And I was like, well, why am I going to go put these 3 years into law and then not be able to enjoy it or do anything? So I went and got my master's then in public communication and marketing.
Okay.
And how I kind of fell into a job that led me to come down here. So, but my LSATs were still good when I didn't like, we were building a hospital and I'm like, and talking to a lawyer, I'm like, I could be doing this. Mm. I should be doing this.
Yeah.
And so that's when I went to Nova's Night program because it had just started. So I missed the first year on my application. I didn't apply soon enough. Then I went days, night, weekends to still get out of my 3 years. But I had interned at the NFL, loved it, loved it. But I was like, oh, athletes need to know how to buy a home and they need to know how to put their finances in estate planning and probate and deal with all that. I'll try to learn a little bit more about that before I go back into the sports world. And then 21 years later, I'm still with my firm. I haven't gone anywhere and no complaints.
Well, apparently you found a little spot that worked for you.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you never know. You plan your path, and then something just happens, and your path just redirects you, and you make the decisions with the information you have in front of you, and you just go. Because I was only going to be here for a year, July 4th. I was only going to, in 1994, I was going to be here for 1 year. I was going to be with my grandparents. I was going to play ball. I was going to get a tan. I was going to have some fun. And I was going back north. That'll be 28 years ago on this coming July 4th.
Yeah.
Well, I don't tell time.
You're still working on that, huh?
Cool. I do have my New York bar license if I wanted to, but I'm not going back to New York. I'm resigned to that.
Yeah. The weather is better here anyway.
It is, except if you listen to my mother this morning. She said it's absolutely gorgeous in New York, and she doesn't know why she's coming down to the boiling hot heat.
There's a heat wave moving across the country right about now. Just give her a couple of days.
Exactly. It's all good.
Right. So here you are. You got introduced to law. You did an awesome internship. That's like a dream internship right there.
Yes.
But 28 years from a one-year visit, what kept you? Other than the weather?
Life. I really enjoyed what I was doing. I was working for a nonprofit down here when I first came down, mm-hmm. and doing special events, fundraising, and helping others. And then my grandparents, I was with them. I've been coming down here since the 70s.
Yeah.
When my grandmother and my step-grandfather, but he's my grandfather.
Yeah.
Another area of blended, where people just make assumptions and whatnot, but it's all good.
Right.
And so I got to be with them, spend time with them. And then when I realized I wasn't moving north, I said I have to do something to be involved, get involved. And so, because there was a little bit of time that I wasn't sure if I'd stay or if I'd go back up to New York or to DC where I'd gone to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, the path seemed to work. When I then went to law school, then I left law, when I got done with law school, it was time to get into where I was going to go. I met somebody in law school. We got married. I had a beautiful party that my father really wanted. Wore the dress my father really wanted me to wear and made him happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got divorced, which also made him happy. And got back my strength because I lost a little bit of it in that short period of time. And then I threw myself into work.
Mm-hmm.
My senior partner passed away. When my senior partner passed away, the firm became mine.
Okay.
And it was also at the same time when things happened in the city where an opportunity came for me to apply for a position in the city on the council. It was an application process due to what was going on in the city. And then I served a temporary time,
mm-hmm.
then was about to go try to become a judge. And then the opportunity came back for me to reapply for that special period of time. I got the job. Then I decided that I would run again, and I won, and then switched. I was running again for commissioner, and then the opportunity to run for mayor came in. And so I went there. And so I kept getting involved.
Yes.
Right. I don't want to go political, and I'm trying. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm involved.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of kept me here. And even though I took the New York bar, I'm licensed in DC. I got my, I'm a mediator. I am an elder law trained mediator. I've done most of my training for family law, but with COVID things happened and I didn't finish. I have to go watch a few mediations. I haven't done it yet to finalize that, but
yeah.
I like to be busy.
Yeah.
And then in between that time, I did meet a wonderful man. We're together 19 years now.
Nice.
We recently had six kids. We now have four dogs, two cats. We're now down to three dogs, two cats. three of the ones you've heard.
Right.
But life is good. And we had talked about getting married a couple of times, but 2007 was a crap year. Sorry, I will try to keep it as clean as possible.
That's fine.
His mom died. My father died. Mm-hmm. House sprung a leak. Bank card starts to crash and all that kind of stuff with the housing market.
Right.
And so we put everything off. Life rolls back around. I'm too busy doing campaign stuff. Mm-hmm. Then in 18, I said, well, we'll get married in 19. And I'm like, and then I realized I'm not getting married. Sorry. You look good with your hairstyle. I didn't look so good with that hairstyle. So I'm not getting married going through chemo. I look like concrete and, wasn't the time. So, we'll be fine. Maybe we'll get married. Maybe we won't. We'll see what happens when year 20 comes around.
All right. So that now leads me. that leads me to two things. One, the chemo story. And two, the concept of marriage. Let's candidly speak here for a moment. You guys have been together for 19 years. What difference is standing before someone, signing a little piece of paper, saying I do before some other people? What difference will it really make to you in the relationship?
Probably not much, which is why I haven't pushed it, because it's actually not him. Everybody says, what's wrong with him? And I say, don't look at him. And I'm not against the concept of marriage. I don't want any of your viewers to think that
I'm not against it either. Not because I asked you that question.
It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, I love him. He loves me. He calls me his wife anyway. And he takes, he goes by Mr. Gomez. He doesn't even use his last name. And he even told my daddy, he said, that when we were going to get married, he was going to be taking Gomez instead of me giving up Gomez. Because for my part of my problem with my ex, it was I lost my identity. Mm. I was no longer allowed to talk to my friends. I was no longer allowed to talk to my parents. And I joke around, but it's really the truth. It took me 7 months to take my ex-husband's name. Mm-hmm. It took me 30 days to get Gomez back.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that things happen in a relationship and it also happens for whatever the reason, right? And I would still take Bruce's last name if he wanted me to. I'd hyphenate it. But everybody knows me at this rate. Actually, everyone's known me since I think, teens as Yo Gomez.
Right. Right.
I got introduced as a party and a person at a party in college, and someone's like, I said, I'm Michelle. And they say, oh, nice to meet you. And then somebody comes up and goes, yo, Gomez, how you doing? They're like, oh, you're Gomez. I was like, oh, sure. what I do. So, it's defining, but it's also not the end all be all. He's not threatened. He had his own experiences, his own first marriage. It's a fine institution. Our kids don't really care. They're called both of our last names when we take them to the vet.
Right.
If it happens, it happens. Any kind of legal paperwork, in today's day and age, you've got domestic partnerships. You've got all other kinds of ways to protect
assets.
Right. To make sure that they are, for me, for Bruce, he's protected. Bruce, for me, being protected. It'll be a good time for a good party if we do it, when we do it. It's not a negative. It's just there's so many other things we're thinking about that it doesn't. It's like we're together. It's not. I don't know.
The main thing is that you are together, and you have been building together and supporting each other along the way, and I guess there's nothing to really get in the way of that at this point. Is he around? Is he nearby? He could pop in and say hi.
He's down the hall. A couple of the kids.
Oh, okay, guys. You know, we.
I think he'd kill me if I put him on the spot. Quite honestly, no, he wouldn't kill me.
You could tell him that I was asking for him, you know. But so there's that part of it, and then the other part, which you mentioned again, where you are sporting a hairdo like mine. You mind sharing about that?
One of the things is, you know, they say also with marriage, in sickness and in health, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Been there. He was, he's a little bit older than I am. Mm-hmm. And he played ball. He played professional football for a bit. The concern of some of my family members were, he's older than you, you're going to be taking care of him. Well, here's the reality. I've had knee surgery and hip surgery, arthritis, arthroscopic, because I was an athlete too.
Right.
He took care of me through that in 2016. And then I'm the one who gets sick. So right after, literally 4 days after the election, yay, winning. And mm-hmm. Hi, come on in. We need you to redo your mammogram. I go in and they say, well, now we need you to do, they did a sonogram or an sonogram, and then they need to do a biopsy. So literally the night of when I was supposed to be sworn in, which was November 19th in 2018, because there was stuff going on in Broward County elections, we weren't certified. And so swearing in wasn't that day. Instead at 5:30, I get a phone call from the doctor saying, you've got cancer. It's in your breasts and it's in your lymph nodes. We need to chart a course of action and take care of this. So, I had the opportunity to interview, so to speak, three different doctors, three different surgeons, oncologists and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can go with the first person that tells you, but in my world, we're going to get a second and a third opinion.
Right.
And I think I might have shared this with you. I had two very important questions to ask the doctors. And it was, do I have to eat Brussels sprouts and broccoli? And they said, all three of them said no. Mm-hmm. And then I said, can I eat my cookies and my ice cream? And all three of them said yes. I said, I'm kicking cancers. Mm-mm. And so, because it got to what it is for my kind of cancer, it was HR positive, HER2 negative. It's what you see all on these commercials on TV, the Tiscali and all this kind of drug campaign.
Right.
I'm fortunate that I'm not on some of that, but I did learn about certain things that I was on, like the Neulasta and things like that. But they wanted to do the cancer first, do the chemo first, or do the radiation first. One doctor had a different path. And I made the decision that I wanted it out of me. I just wanted it out. And we'll deal with whatever we can deal with if I had to go chemo or radiation after. So the surgeon, I went to Lynn Cancer Institute in Boca. For mm-hmm. me, it was best because it was a panel. I had my blood oncologist, my surgical oncologist, my radiation oncologist, all right then and there. And they would talk about me. Mm-hmm. You know, they had their morning meetings or whatever. And I can get everything done in one location and not have to go here, and say, are you getting my records? And worrying about them not communicating and making sure that they're on the most up-to-date possible of what my treatment needed to be.
Yes.
And so I was on something called the Red Devil, and she was not nice at all. So I was on four rounds of that for every 2 weeks. It's basically 56 cc's. It's a huge vial of red stuff that they put into you. And I was warned that I was going to lose my hair. And I said, the doctor knew that was very displeasing to a, I'm a Leo.
Okay.
I like my mane. Even if it looks like crap, I like my mane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an identifier. So those pictures in high school, woohoo, did I have hair?
Big hair.
I was a child. So I have the big hair, the big earrings, the very bright eyeliner. And you saw me coming a mile away.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And so being told I was going to lose my hair was hard.
Mm.
And But at the same token, it was, okay, you told me I have 16 rounds of chemo and you told me I have 30 rounds of radiation. Here's my calendar. Here's my schedule. Here's when I'm going to get it done. And just hit it like, I got to do it. Don't think. Mm-hmm. I had it planned for every Thursday, which would be definitely Wednesday after my city had meetings on Wednesday. Our commission meetings were on Wednesdays.
Right.
And this way I was told I'd probably be sick by Saturday and I have a couple of days to recover. Regroup.
Yeah.
Well, the reality was that by 6 o'clock on Thursday night of having a treatment, I was not a happy person. So I was kind of down for the count for a couple of days. But the advice I was given by others who had been through this was given, meaning when you're tired, go to bed, listen to your body. Do not fight it. Other recommendation was that if I know I'm on a medication that is making me sick and my medication to keep me from getting sick is time lapsing. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to be on it for 4 hours. Start taking it a little bit before the 4 hours ends. So why let yourself get into the position of being miserable? Right. And eventually when your body gets through the medication and the poison going through it, you will adjust and not have to do it. But so that kind of worked for me. So where my head wasn't always in a bowl. I got myself some great wigs, two beautiful wigs. I went with two people who were my friends at the time, and we got these great wigs. And I was being given with the eight other women at Broward County Women. We were being recognized in March for Women's History Month in March 2019.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at you and talking, and then I was distracted to look the other way. I looked the other way. My hair stayed that way. My face was that way. I was like, oh, this is not going to work.
Wow.
So it seems that you should possibly get your head measured differently when you have a head full of hair like I did before you get a wig, because my wigs were too big.
Mm.
And when we pinned it, I looked like I had a cone head. It was very funny. So a couple of days later is when I went to the chamber, Tamarack Chamber. Mm-hmm. It's now the Tamarack and Floral Chamber. And I went sporting a headband, a kerchief, so to speak.
Yeah.
And because I figured everybody knows I'm bald, might as well just do it. And they were great and supportive. When my hair was falling out, literally in clumps, my hairdresser was great. She just took care of taking the rest of it off because to make it
even
a little bit less feeling it fall out.
Yeah.
Hand to the dog I had in my hands when earlier in the call.
Yeah.
When I came home, he was crying and went running away from me. He didn't understand it. So that part was a little hard.
Mm.
And I know it sounds very base, I guess, but there are certain memories that come.
Yeah.
That hit, they go, oh, you know, this is a reality thing.
Right.
So, but I think we're back.
No, that's a big thing. Hearing that story, that's a big thing. My mother, her soul rest in peace, transitioned as a result of multiple myeloma. And at the time in Jamaica, not much was known of it. And doctors gave her 7-8 years, because that was the average at the time. And my mother did 15 before she transitioned. And she transitioned on Valentine's Day in 2006. And so, you know, that you hearing you tell the story, you know, of your journey, it brings back bits and pieces. My mother having to do, and I tell this story as I do my health show on a Tuesday. Sometimes, you know, my mother had a counter full of medication that she had to take. And some of them were medicines to counteract the side effects of other medicines. And I couldn't understand it at first. And to this day, I still question some of it. and I'm the one that asks questions as it relates to medicines and pharmaceuticals. I will ask those questions, and I ask them publicly. People know me for that.
You should ask.
Yeah, that part. And you, having gone through where you needed to take this medication, for you to make a statement like that, that's a big deal. You know, that you should ask. Not just go with whatever you're told. Just ask the question. When people approach you in your official capacity and you make a statement, do you get the why, or do you just give them the why in anticipation of it?
It depends on the question and how it's asked and who this whole thing. I try to be as informative as possible instead of, I joke around, when I was little, I would ask a question to my parents and they would, I'm the mommy, that's why. That doesn't work for me. So, I even got a t-shirt that says I'm the mommy. That's why. So I'd like to know more. Yes. And I would always joke around with her as well. I'm like, if you don't like that I'm asking questions, remember you raised me this way. That one didn't go over well the first time I said it to my parents. But you share about with your mom and all the pharmaceuticals, and you know, they say better living through pharmaceuticals. And actually Bruce and I were having the conversation just this morning, actually. So the first round of the chemo for four rounds was this, the Red Devil. Mm-hmm. The next was 12 weeks of this other medication, this other chemo. I had to put my hands and feet in ice because my nails were literally separating from my nail bits.
Oh, wow.
And I can only imagine how bad it would have been if I didn't do it, because I still have some left over from that. And I have some neuropathy issues in my hands and my feet because of the chemo that have not gone away. And they put me on some medication. So I might have shared, I never missed a day of work from commission. I never missed a meeting. Didn't matter. They were very kind. I had a bucket and I had some paper towels. I had whatever I needed by my chair at City Hall. So, because I was not going to miss a meeting. I was not going to be told that I couldn't do my job because of this. And I was going to be, if I was going to let this.
You weren't going to let it beat you.
Body, correct. And then tell me I couldn't do something that I've been working so hard for and I wanted to do, and I believed I could still do it. Because I believe each of us know what we can and cannot do. And so I won't ever tell you what your capacity is, that you have too much on your plate. You know what your plate is. Right. You know if you can take care of it.
Yes.
It's your responsibility to do so. I will let you tell me. But just like you won't tell me I've got too much to do. I know when I can't do something, and I am strong enough within myself to say, you know what, I can't do it. But maybe not everybody's like that.
Yeah.
But in my position also, I wasn't going to let somebody say to me, you're a female and you're weak.
That's a big deal.
I'm not. Well, I am a female, but I'm not weak.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately had people, or have people around me, who want that to be the case. I'm weak and I'm a female. I have a different sense of style and doing things. If my normal reaction time is like this, it might have been
just a little bit delayed.
Just a little bit delayed, because I was on some stuff.
Right.
The gabapentin they gave me for the neuropathy, you could say hi to me and I'd want to cry. That was just the way the medication would have that effect. And it's like, you know, I would hate that. One of the medications I was on after the radiation, unfortunately destroyed my, reproductive. So I had to have a hysterectomy last year, a full hysterectomy, ovectomy, all that kind of stuff. And because of that, because my cancer ran on estrogen, now I'm on a different medication, and that is wreaking havoc on my joints. Being an athlete, I already have, you know, broken a lot of stuff.
Right.
It doesn't help my hands and feet. So first thing in the morning, I can assure you, you don't want me to hold anything
valuable.
You know, like, yes, because I could possibly drop it.
Yeah.
If I don't have my hands, you know, moving and the juices flowing to get my fingers moving and get the energy back in it.
Right.
But we, and Bruce and I were talking about that this morning. It's like, I'm going to be going back to the doctor in a couple of weeks. And is there a different option? So I want to keep me from getting the cancer coming back, but I also don't want my hands to be in a form soon where I can't handle something. I can't hold something.
Right.
And then because there, and I, like I told you earlier, I was, I'm an open book, so you may want to shut me up.
No.
I have a little issues from the radiation. So now I'm on another medication to help me not get nauseous all the time with eating.
Right.
And so then I'm on another medication. I'm actually on one of the medications that I was on with the chemo to counteract that. So as you said, with your mom, you have one medication. And then they gave her another medication to counteract the side effects.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder about all this medication and what we're doing. It's a really long way to get to it, you know, that, that part, but
it's an important way though.
And then, so I'm on, been on steroids because, that was what with my doctors, their plan for me was, we want you eating. They told Bruce, I don't care if she hasn't eaten anything. And if 11:30 at night, you need to shove a bowl of ice cream in her face and make her eat it. Do it. Because she needs to, this, this medication will destroy her insides. We need to keep her.
Yeah.
And we need to keep her. So, so my complaint is, yes, my hair has grown back. Unfortunately, I gained the ounces that I, or pounds that I had lost, or I was, you know, happy with not having on my body, but everything that I put into me has another side effect that I can't get rid of. And that's partly, doesn't matter how, if I work out, it doesn't matter if I'm eating well, I'm not losing the weight, and that frustrates me. And then I have to say to myself, you know what? So what? You're alive. You're here. You're doing what you need to do. I'm not a runway model.
That now leads me to another side of you where I'd have to kind of ask, boy, what, how did you manage to get your mind right? Because, you know, going through all of this, looking back to where you were, as active as you were, all the things that were going for you as you liked it, to things changing drastically. Oh, I forgot that I was still on Clubhouse. Big ups to the Clubhouse Massive. Catch y'all later. Or your time ran out a long time ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not you. Clubhouse. I usually cut them off so that they can come over. I forgot that they were still on. Big ups to the Clubhouse Massive. Much love to you. Come on over. KevinStew.com for the remainder of the broadcast. Peace out. So let me end that. So here we are, and you have to ask a question. How do you manage to get your mind right? How do you manage to keep your mind right? How do you manage to stay sane through all this? Because these are the kind of things that will just send someone off the deep end.
I never ever actually thought about it. I, for a person, they, my family says I chew. I get something in my head and I have to piece it apart and pull it apart and go in a direction. And then there are some big things that I just do. I don't think I just do. This might be a very strange statement, so bear with me.
Okay. This is a strange broadcast.
I had to have cancer. It was the perfect time to have it. And here's why. Surrounded with things to keep me busy. People who loved me. Love, support, and prayers from all over the place. Even people I didn't know. It was the sweetest thing. I would come to City Hall and there was a book there of things to eat, when dealing with cancer, or somebody knit me some things, some hats to keep my head warm. I had prayer shawls given to me. I am of one faith, but I've had all faiths praying for me, and I appreciate all the faiths that prayed for me. And even if it was people who were not of a faith, but just gave me good wishes and love and support. So I was completely surrounded by that, and it gave me energy, and it, that positivity helped me get through. I had some wonderful people bake me some brownies, not, you know, regular brownies.
Yeah.
One of my 9-year-old ladies, it was regular brownies. and it was just, it gave me, it's like, I knew I had to get through this. There wasn't an option.
Yes. Yes.
I guess somewhere a little bit in my head was, there was no way in this world I was letting my mom lose another child. No way in this world I was going to leave Bruce and my fur babies. I had work to do.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for the graciousness of others to understand where I had to realize my shortfalls. Like, if I was doing normally 15 things on a list and I can only get through 5, I was forgiven for it.
Right.
But I still make it up and I get it done. So, the energy I get from others, I still do. I go to some association meetings, and there are times when, I mean, we all have it. We're just tired.
Yeah.
But you get somewhere and you're talking with some good people and you get energized and you're ready to go. And it gives you the energy to continue, and it bounces you up. So I'm blessed and appreciative. So.
Now, that is also a demonstration of some personal strength and direction, you know, locking in on your goals. You know, there are things that you want to accomplish, and you're not letting anything stop you. You're going to go for it. You're going to do it, and you're determined to do it. You say you work with the community a lot. With that kind of determination, that kind of grit, that makes for perfect helping. That's a perfect tool to have in your toolbox when working with teens, when working with young adults trying to find their way. As you go about your work life, you find yourself interacting, because you talk a lot about giving back to the community, and your job is one such where, although in an office, government office, you pretty much involved in the community.
I do have an office at City Hall, and I go there, but I do like to spend much of my time outside of it. I believe that's what my job is supposed to be, besides meetings. I have the pleasure of going to schools when we had schools were open, and or talking with them on Zoom or getting involved. So I've had, for my mayor term, it's been campaign into mayor, cancer, COVID. Right? These have been my years. 2019 was cancer. 2020, 2021, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
22, trying to get out of the last bits of COVID. And all that kind of stuff. So, but I do enjoy speaking with kids. I had a great time, and I appreciate the support of the city staff. We had a field trip of 10 children who are... I just blanked out the words. They study at home. They're homeschooled.
Okay. Homeschool, yeah.
And they came to City Hall for an hour to learn a little bit about civics. And they learned, and they came to see how it was going on. And I brought them into City Hall. And just watching their faces, and they just absorbing it and ask questions. And They played a little bit of one of them was mayor and the rest of the commission and how they were going to make decisions and just trying to help feed their passion to learn and their knowledge was just fantastic. And when I was at graduations with some of our students, our fifth grade promotions, being a New Yorker, we graduated at 6. Mm-hmm. We went to junior high school and then we went to high school. So it's I still get a little tripped up on some of the terminology.
Yeah.
But just reminding these children that they could do anything they wanted to do. And I'm seeing how they're pushing themselves and they've gotten through stuff that's hard. I mean, this world we've been in the past year has been hard.
Yes.
There's no book on this.
True.
There's no true right or wrong. It's how do you do the best for yourself, your family, your friends, and working it through together and knowing you're not alone, you're not on an island. And as you and I have talked about, especially with NAMI, mm-hmm. whether you're a child or an older adult, we need people. We are very much
social beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to shut ourselves down, shut ourselves and lock ourselves away, fear is detrimental. And so being able to be out there and reminding people we can be outside safely, talk to one another, read a book 6 feet apart, but just being 6 feet apart and being with one another. Reading to one another, singing or whatever, just maybe getting off these things, just being in front of one another and remembering how to talk and not let our fingers do the talking all the time. And noticing when somebody is in crisis and not being afraid to ask the hard questions. Or recognize they're in crisis, and if they won't do something about it, reach out to somebody who will either do something to help them or you do it for them. And it's okay if you're not going to be liked or loved or appreciated for it in the beginning or even in the end. If you know someone's in crisis, you need to help them. It is our obligation to do so. And there's been some of that through this in the past few years. So, being out in the community as well, though, I get to know when I see somebody who this is not their norm.
Yes.
Because I've had the opportunity to get to know them beforehand with a little bit more of their norm.
Mm.
They know that they need some help. And then they can also know that they can reach out to me and they can trust me to help them where they need to be. So I love being involved. And I still, every Saturday, except now that we have city functions coming out in the morning on Saturday, the Korean United Methodist Church is still doing food distributions here in Tamarack. Little plug for them, 6501 West Commercial Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at 8 and goes until supplies last. Sometimes we don't get that much food out of Feeding South Florida or Farm Share because there's not that much. It's still a drain on donations and what they're able to get. But they give out as much as they can, and it's all volunteer. But I'm there helping every Saturday. Almost every Saturday, like this past Saturday, I had an event, so I couldn't. But it's important for them to know that they're not alone and they're struggling and they still need help. And I've had people reach out to me because they see me in that line with them, helping them out and knowing that it's a judgment-free zone.
Mm.
We all go through stuff. So, and it's been very, very rewarding.
That's awesome. As you mentioned, people reaching out to you, I didn't even remember that I have a phone line, 773-789-STEW. You can call, text, WhatsApp, Telegram to get you in touch. Drop a line. We're going to part company with Michelle in just a moment. But if you want to just call in and give a word, whether it is that she inspired you, she encouraged you, you want to encourage her, just to say hi, even, you can do so. 773-789-STEW is the number scrolling across the bottom of your screen right there. It's 773-789-7839. I'll tell you one more time. 773-789-7839. Now, you do so much. You've gone through so much. Where do you find time for you? And where do you find time for the fur babies and Bruce? Because all that you talk about is time consuming.
Yeah. We do try to make sure we have dinner together at least once a week. Mm-hmm. There are sometimes it doesn't happen. And sometimes that once a week dinner might be a 15-minute like inhaling really quickly and running. Mm. But as I started sharing with you earlier when the sickness and health type stuff, Bruce finished up what he needed to do and basically went into a version of early retirement to help take care of me and our fur babies, because we didn't know how I was going to be. Right. We didn't know what I'd be able to handle and what I couldn't do, energy levels and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm very appreciative of that. And my mom came, would come down and she'd take care of me too and then give him some reprieve. But we don't probably spend as much time as we used to together because I'm always very involved. But he is extremely supportive of me and he's not threatened by my world, if that makes sense. He is proud of the work I'm doing and he's proud to be my support and help me and encourage me to do what I need to do or what I want to do. And because before I signed up to run again, I asked him, I said, are you okay with this? Are you on for another 4-year term? Are you up for the craziness of a campaign? Because let me tell you, that part is not exactly the most fun.
Right.
And subjects myself to, unfortunately, politics and lies. And I could say something to you now at this minute, but I said something to you at 10:30 and that will be twisted around and then put out there as a, not by you, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else is twirled some things around, takes partial truth and tries to put facts to it that aren't there. And it's not easy because he doesn't want to see me dealing with that.
Right.
But we make time as we can. And then home is a safe haven. I come home. I got my fur baby. Sometimes I come home after a day and I'm like, I love you, babe, but I need puppy love. I just need to sit on the couch or in the bed with, and if you hear snoring now, that would be chaos. And I just, that helps me just unwind. The me time, this is me.
Yeah.
And since I enjoy it, it doesn't, I don't have that, oh, I need some space.
You thrive in your place and you recognize where your place is. And again, you know, this is where it makes sense when you say you had cancer at the right time. Because not only did it happen when you had the support around you, but it solidified that bond. It solidified that support system. And if you didn't recognize it before, if others didn't recognize where they stood in the whole realm of support both ways, the ones that needed to recognize it and find their little niche spot, they found it. And so right about now, it's kind of settling into that little space. You know, when you sit at a particular part of a chair all the time, then your butt just imprints right there. That kind of a thing. They have imprinted their spot in your life and you theirs. And so you have managed somehow in all of this whirlwind of activities to have people around you, have a support system with you that works with that. And where other people would look at it and one eye would probably be spinning left and the other one would be spinning right, everybody's like, hey, what would we do next? Let's go. What you up to? We're ready. And to find that and to have that and to recognize that, those are just blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings.
And I do believe I'm very blessed.
Yes, yes, you are. And those that get to know you, those that get to interact with you at on any level for any duration of time, if they're paying attention, they will see it. They'll feel it. They'll have that experience. And they get to share in it. As I did when we hung out at that NAMI event, you know, which led to us being here right now. Which I don't know how you're going to get rid of me. No, there's no getting rid of me. You know,
I don't plan on. So it's all good. But, and I appreciate it. I mean, your callers might have said, can you get off? Can she get off the call already? But no, I do appreciate it. And I think you're wonderful. And I do appreciate you sharing as well. Because what you shared is also very personal and not easy. But I thank you for sharing.
Oh, not a problem. You know, this, I tell a few people, I don't say it very often. The night shift with DJ Kevin Stew is just an extension of me. I do community and finance on Mondays. I do healthy love on Tuesdays. I do real talk on Wednesdays. They're all aspects of me. And various things that I look at as I go through my daily life. And when I invite someone to be on the broadcast, I'm typically inviting them into my life. And I thank you for taking the time out to share this aspect of my life, this portion of my life for tonight. And it really means a lot to me. And to hear you tell your story of bits and pieces of your journey. You're thanking me for sharing. I thank you for sharing. Because you've taken us through business. You've taken us through education. You've taken us through health and wellness. You've taken us through not just physical health, but mental health. All in this little time that we've spent together.
Oh, I thank you. And I've been looking forward to it. I know we were chatting offline, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're racking, you know, and always want to hope that your viewers or your listeners are not bored to tears because that you've picked me. But I've been looking forward to it. And I know you have the opportunity to interview and select who goes on your show. So it is important. And it does, it makes me feel good that we were able to talk, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the NAMI events and seeing you before, you know, on this. And maybe next time I'll just interview you on your own show.
Listen, you know, you got some experience there. I have no problem sitting back and letting this be just the Michelle J show, you know?
Actually, one quick little funny is I actually did a radio show when I was in D.C., when I was in college. I was on a radio show for a very short period of time. Unfortunately, I had to make a hard choice about staying on it. Sometimes it's good to be a female, and sometimes it can get you into where you want to make sure you don't have trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made the choice to not cause any issue and just separate myself out. And maybe that, and I didn't further myself down that radio path, but it's all good. It was a great experience.
Well, I can tell you this. Whenever you want to get into some good trouble, just give me a call. Drop me a line. Say, hey Kev, let's do something. There's some things I want to get straight. There's some things I want to get off my chest. You know, let's do it.
Thank you.
And thank you. Like I said, it's either going to be a community and finance thing or a health thing or a real talk thing. And the real talk part is really how we as people interact with each other and at all levels, how we communicate, how we think. Just this past week, I did a broadcast on human behavior. you know, why do we do some of the things that we do? And we all learned that we pretty much are in one of four categories, four of our classifications of personalities. You know, you're pessimistic, you're optimistic, you pessimist, optimist, trusting. What was the fourth one? No, I forgot. I remembered earlier, but no, I forgot. But anyway, it's these four categories that 90% of the population fall into. Crazy, but true.
Do we overlap, or are we staggered, or
no?
Is it one or the other?
It's not that you just only end up in one and you stay there. We all have aspects of each of them. But there, you have your dominant feature.
So is your dominant?
Mine? I'm more on the optimistic and trusting side.
I figured as much. Sounds that right?
And because of that, my motto, as I shared with you when we talked, and I'm wearing that shirt tonight too, see? Have acceptance mm-hmm. through enlightenment. I used that word that people just hold on to and let fuel them to do whatever they want for it to be something more positive.
Which and, I think is great.
Yeah, to lead us to think. And so we get to share that space. So if you have something that you want to address, you know, something burning, hey, it's going to be in one of those. Call me up. Let's do it.
Got it.
All right. Thank you again. Thank Bruce for me. And thank the Fur Babies for allowing you to take this time out to share with us. The residents of Tamarack should know how blessed they are. If they didn't know before, I hope some of them were listening so that they know now exactly how blessed they are to have a mayor like you, someone representing and working with the community. And you don't just say you do it. You show that you do it. And they've seen you do it. And if they haven't seen you do it, where are you going to be this on what's this, every Saturday that this happens?
Saturday at the Korean United Methodist Church at 8 a.m. The food distribution is, we do food distribution starting at 8 o'clock. It will not be for July 2nd because that's 4th of July weekend. But basically, unless it's a major holiday weekend, we're out there 8 o'clock in the morning. Admittedly, I sometimes get in there about 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah.
Sometimes my world, my responsibility to my fur babies and their routine, I don't always get there at the punch of 8. But
right.
But they open at 8, and usually unless the truck has an issue. But it's 8 o'clock at the Korean United Methodist Church on 6501 West Commercial Boulevard every Saturday.
Perfect.
Last.
Thank you again. Mayor,
thank you very much.
And now I get to address you officially. I'm addressing you officially as we close out. Mayor Gomez, thank you very much.
And you know, I share with this, and you know, whoever's listening to your show may want to reach out to you later. But if you find that somebody wants to reach out to me, mm-hmm. you're more than welcome to give them my number and have them call me, my email address, whatever works for them. If they want to reach out to me, I'm available to hear what they have to say.
Well, you can also give it here because, you know, when we get done, it's available on YouTube, in the video archive. It's available by podcast. Anywhere where people listen to podcasts, they can catch this broadcast. They can just go to kevinstew.com and they're available. So
excellent.
Go ahead and you put stuff there.
The email is Michelle. So it's michelle.gomez@tamarack.org. And again, that's michelle.gomez@tamarack.org. So you can take that J and just make it a period. And then my cell phone number is 954-263-1918. 954-263-1918. That is my cell phone number. You can call me or text me. And usually I just ask that you give me some parameters on when to call you back, because sometimes I have some late nights and I won't call you back unless you tell me it's okay to call you back at midnight. Early in the morning. So, but I do try to get back with people as soon as possible. So thank you very much again.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you. You see, people, she's real. I don't think it gets any more real. And I've been blessed to have some very real people on this broadcast. And I recognize that. So I give thanks. And I thank you once again. And we'll stay in touch. Well,
of course we will.
If no other time, you'll definitely see me on October 8th at NAMI Walks. I can't help but be there unless health says otherwise, or life. I'm going to be there because I'm the host.
Yes, you are. So you'll be there. There's no question about it. You'll be there, and I've got it on my calendar. So I plan on being there too.
Excellent.
I look forward to definitely see you there, unless I see you sometime before. But
yeah,
you know my cell phone number. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, we'll definitely be in touch.
I'll sign off so I can let you do what you do with the rest of your program. And right. I apologize for some of the technical issues in the beginning.
Hey, no, not a problem. You know, the Gremlins, they came in, they did what they do. They're out now.
Everything happens for a reason, so it's all good.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. Thank you. Michelle J. Gomez, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome. Mayor of the city of Tamarack here in Broad County. What can I say? You know, she's just an awesome woman who has been through a lot and still going through quite a bit and can come on and encourage and still push through and still give back to the community. Is not just because she is a city official, it means that she sits back and, you know, let whatever happen, you know, play politics. No, it's a whole lot more to it than that. What we're gonna do, a quick little musical therapy to take us out. Thank you all. Thank you to my affiliates, One Harmony Radio, NIE Radio, Island Worldwide, One Harmony out of the UK, NIE Radio out of New Jersey, Island Worldwide out of New York, Reggae Pulse Radio out of New York, the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com out of South Florida, PEMG TV, Allo Up Radio, Ducit Media Group, and WGLRO all out of Texas. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those that are tuned in on TuneIn Radio, much love to you. Those on Zeno FM, blessings to you. The people that were on Clubhouse earlier, blessings. Remember, you can catch this broadcast again. Go to kevinstew.com. The video archive is there. The podcast is there. You can get the podcast anywhere that you listen to your podcast. It's a Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Mayor Gomez. You know, she's available. She's reachable. I am reachable. You got my number, 773-789-STEW. It's easy to remember. 773-789-STEW. And right about now, we get to go on a little journey. Because Michelle took us on a journey, right? So let's go on a journey. The sound of Cass Smith. Taking us into musical therapy, sponsored by Mike Neal Trucking. Long, long journey through the pages of time. This is the sound of Crescenti. Oh, oh. As we close out tonight, okay. I want to thank you each and everyone for locking in, for listening, for sharing. The track is called Joy. And through it all, no matter what it is that we deal with, we can find the joy in it. Tomorrow I know I will live forever. Just because joy wouldn't feel so sweet if it wasn't for faith. No, sunshine wouldn't be essential if it wasn't for rain. Yeah, those things. Joy wouldn't feel so sweet if it wasn't for faith. No, sunshine wouldn't be essential if it wasn't for rain. You have to know for your overcome life ups and downs. Oh. I want to thank you each and everyone for locking in. Thank you to the affiliates once more. Island Worldwide. NIE Radio, Reggae Pulse Radio, One Harmony Radio, the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com, PEMGTV.com, TuneIn Radio, WGLRO, Alawap Radio, Dusik Media Group. Truly appreciate love you. Thank you to the sponsors. Pulse Media Group, Healthy and Healing Heavenly Hands, Reggae Global Entertainment, McNeil Trucking. Do remember to look out for members of your community as we part company. Remember, your community is not just the development that you live in, but it spreads far and wide to those that you pass on the bus, the plane, the boat, the train, whether you walk, ride, or drive. Remember, these are all members of your community. Do something good for one of them today, because you never know who's going to do something good for you tomorrow. My name is Kevin Studer, so I like to do it to you, for you, and with you every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All being well, right here at kevinstew.com. And affiliates, of course. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you wherever you are in the world. From right here in South Florida, I bid you all a very good night. Greetings and salutations, one and all. You're invited to tune in to the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. It airs on Mondays with Community and Finance, Tuesdays with Healthy Love, and Wednesdays with Real Talk from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. Come spend some time interacting in the stew pot where we keep things bubbling and wind down in musical therapy. The Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew is on kevinstew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.